She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, and I'm so excited we have Terry Walls back again for another episode. She is such a popular guest. Everyone loves her, and if you haven't listened to her previous episodes, I'd love for you to go back and download those. But Terry, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are going to dive deep today, and just for those people, give a brief introduction of yourself. I'd love for you guys to listen to the other ones. But tell us a little bit about what got you so passionate about the health space and what kind of got you to where you are today.
And what we can do. So I'm an internal medicine physician. You know, I'm in practice doing well. I developed weakness in my left leg in 2000. I ultimately see the neurologist. And he says, you know, Terry, this could be bad or really, really bad. And so for the next 3 weeks, I begin going through a whole bunch of tests. And I'm thinking about the fact that I know I've already had 20 years of worsening electrical face pain across, that's trigeminal neuralgia. So it's like, okay, I have a progressive disease. I don't want to get disabled. So actually, I'm praying secretly for a rapidly fatal diagnosis. But 3 weeks later, I hear I have relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis. I do my research. I find the best multiple sclerosis center in the country. I see their best physician. I take the newest drugs. 3 years later, I hear tilt, recline, wheelchair. I take mitoxantrone, a form of chemotherapy. It does not help. I take Tysabri, the new biologic drug. It does not help. I'm switched to Celcept. I have adopted the paleo diet. That's when I'm asking myself, am I doing all that I can? You know, my son is 11. My daughter is 8. I go back to reading PubMed and start reading the basic science about the animal models of Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS. And I decide that mitochondrial dysfunction is what drives disability. And I create a supplement cocktail for my mitochondria. The speed of my decline slows. I'm super grateful. I discover a study using electrical stimulation of muscles in people who are paralyzed. I go meet with my physical therapist. We discuss. He says, yes, he uses it for athletes. I can grow bigger muscles for you, Terry, but I don't know that your brain can talk to those bigger muscles. I might be making it harder for you to walk. But he gives me a test session. It hurts like hell, by the way. But when it's over, I feel great. It's doing something really wonderful for my mood. And so we add the electrical stimulation. I have these little tiny workouts that I can do, you know, just a little 10-minute workout. If I do more than that, I can't function and go to work. I'm in a zero gravity chair with my knees higher than my nose. That's how I staff patients in the resident clinics. That's how I'm with my family and I take my meals at home. I discover at that time an organization called the Institute for Functional Medicine. They have a course on neuroprotection. I buy that course and I take that. I now have a longer list of supplements. And I've been doing, you know, the paleo diet already for 5 years. And then I had this big aha. And Chantel, I laugh at myself now, like how long it took to have this aha. What if I redesign my paleo diet based on this long list of supplements I'm taking? You know, look for where those things are in the food supply. So that's a few more months of research. I start this new research, this highly structured paleo diet, December 26, 2007. Now, at that point, I'm beginning to have brain fog. I can take a few steps with walking sticks. I cannot sit up anymore in a regular chair like this. I'm in a zero gravity chair with my knees higher than my nose. It's clear to me I'm on track to become bedridden by my illness, probably demented by my illness, and probably have the trigeminal neuralgia turn on permanently and die with really horrific intractable pain. Terribly grim future. And I'm doing all this stuff to slow my decline because I know with secondary progressive MS, there's no recovery that's possible. I start this structured way of eating. Then January comes. I go to my new assignment at the VA, which is the traumatic brain injury clinic. The first 2 weeks, I just watch my partners for my Toby Klein wheelchair. And then the third week, I have to start examining these patients. No residents. And I come home on Monday. And I tell my wife, Jackie, like, you know, it's really not that bad. It seems to be okay. And by the way, honey, could I sit in a regular chair for supper? So I sit in a regular chair for supper, first time in years. And I take my meal. And, you know, at the end of the week on Friday, I come back and I tell Jackie, you know, I think I can do this. And I go to see my physical therapist. They said, yeah, Terry, you're definitely stronger. Let's have you do 10 minutes twice a day. And that's 15 minutes twice a day, then 20 minutes twice a day, then 30 minutes twice a day. And then I start walking in the hallway with walking sticks, you know, studying my colleagues. And then 2 weeks later with just one walking stick and then with none. And then in May, on Mother's Day, so we're, you know, 5 months into this new way of eating, I want to try riding my bike, which I've not done in 6 years. We have an emergency family meeting. Jackie tells my 6'5", 16-year-old son, Zach, you run alongside on the left. And she tells my 13-year-old daughter, Zebby, you run alongside on the right. And she'll follow. And I bike around the block. You know, that big 16-year-old boy, he's crying. The 13-year-old girl, she's crying. Jackie's crying. And when I relive that moment, you know, tears still come to my eyes because that's when I'm like, well, how much recovery might be possible? And, you know, I began biking a little bit further every day. And then in October, Jackie signs me up for the Courage Ride, which is 18.5 miles. And, you know, when I cross the finish line, we're all crying again. And this really transforms the way I think about disease and health. It will transform the way I practice medicine. It will transform the research that I do. And I've made it my mission to teach other clinicians how to do what I do and the public that, yes, there is so much that we can do to better manage our symptoms, improve our quality of life, whatever severe chronic disease problem that you are facing.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount. Well, one of the things that, you know, the Walls Protocol, even if you don't have MS, and like you said, your diet has helped you go from being in a wheelchair to biking miles at a time. And I will say this, you know, for me, I struggle with a lot of joint pain. Mm-hmm. And I'll just quickly kind of share what I remember the Walls Protocol to be, and you correct me. But basically, it's lots of meat and fish, vegetables that are green and leafy, and, you know, fruit, but avoiding things like dairy, eggs, grains, nightshades, like tomatoes, eggplants, potatoes, peppers, getting rid of sugar, and then obviously no grains, like no wheat, no rice, no oatmeal, and getting rid of dairy products and eggs. Is that,
you know, so
that pretty
well? I've done this. I've created a stepwise program. And so people with autoimmunity will go into much more detail what I do, particularly for people with joint issues or inflammatory bowel disease. They need a more rigorous program. But the general public has such a terrible diet. They often need an easier starting point. So level one is gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, lots of vegetables. Yeah, we talk about leafy greens, cabbage family, onion family, mushroom family, and deeply pigmented vegetables and fruit. And if you're a vegetarian for spiritual beliefs, you can do that with beans and rice in a pressure cooker. Preferably, you'll eat meat, but I realize some people are committed vegetarians. Then we go to level two. That's much more paleolithic, no grains, or really dramatically fewer gluten-free grains, fewer legumes, more fermented foods, more organ meat. Then I have a ketogenic version. And then I have the elimination diet, which takes out nightshades, takes out nuts and seeds, takes out all grains and legumes. When I see somebody with a autoimmune disease involving their joints or a autoimmune disease involving the lining of the gut, I tell them you'll need likely an elimination diet to really feel well. And depending on how many years of suffering they've had, they're like, oh, that's too hard. I can't do it. Or they're like, okay, you know, I'm in enough pain. Yes, I am ready to do that. Sometimes we can use a food sensitivity testing to further understand their sensitivity issues. In my VA practice for years, I didn't have any access to the advanced functional medicine testing. What I did was we did the elimination diet. We took everything out and then let people bring ingredients back one at a time. And we used pressure cookers. And we had extraordinary results. Yes, if we'd been able to do functional medicine testing, we might have been able to have extraordinary results a little sooner. We might have been able to address some of our failures a little more effectively.
Yeah. What I would say is, so for a long time, I have been on a paleo diet, and I've done that for a very long time. And then I would kind of, you know, I get to a snapping point and I'd be like, I'm going to have a piece of gluten-free toast, or, you know, I'd sprinkle a few things in. But what I have noticed about your protocol that is so genius is that when I have, if I decide to have nightshade vegetables, which I want you to kind of talk about the Walls protocol versus the paleo diet, what the differences are.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, when I do eat nightshade vegetables like tomatoes, eggplants, potatoes, and peppers, which are allowed, well, sweet potatoes are allowed on the paleo diet, but some of those others are allowed on the paleo diet, I would still get a lot of joint pain. So, and eggs are also allowed on the,
correct,
the paleo diet as well. But again,
let's talk about the paleo diet. What we're trying to do is to go back to a eating pattern that humans ate for, you know, millions of years. You know, we were primates eating mostly leaves, a few small insects and animals, and gradually our ancestors were eating more and more meat, fish, shellfish. We'd break the long bones and eat out the marrow, and break the skulls and eat out the brain. And we loved eating the eyes because the eyes are such a great source of omega-3 fats. And then, you know, humans migrate across the globe. We encounter new foodstuffs, new ecosystems. And so the truth is, yes, we can eat a wide variety of foods and thrive. Then we invented agriculture, really very recently, 8,000 to 10,000 years. And then we added grains, legumes, more nightshades. And, you know, our health, we still had reproductive success. We still did fairly well. And then we had the Industrial Revolution. That's really quite recent, 300 years. Now we have white sugar, white flour, processed foods, emulsifiers. And we, 75 years ago, really invent fast food, many more packaged products. So we keep changing what we eat into more and more food-like chemicals. And that leads to, of course, many, many different problems. The paleo diet said, you know what, let's go back in principle to the kinds of things we're eating before farming came along. So that's meat, fish, eggs, animal products, plant products, taking out grains, legumes. Some paleo eaters still eat dairy, some exclude dairy. That, in general, is much more nutrient dense than the standard American diet. And so for many people, just going on a paleo diet improves the quality of their nutrition, and their symptoms reduce. They have less pain, better moods, better blood pressure, better blood sugar. However, if you're having an abnormal immune response to some of the food proteins, your autoimmune processes will still be going on. And when you're eating a food that you have an abnormal immune response to, you can trigger activation of the innate immune system, opening up of the channels in the small intestine. These food proteins get into your bloodstream. That jacks up your immune system. That will jack up your pain levels. It will increase the brain clog. It'll increase irritability, anxiety, depression. It can increase rage. And that leads to bigger health problems, which over time has led to people in the paleo world talking about their autoimmune intervention protocol, which basically is a big elimination diet. I've created another version of the elimination diet. And then, of course, clinically, if I can investigate for food sensitivities, then I can personalize the recommendations a bit more.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you got B6, you got B12, you got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. The easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantal Ray, and save some money there. So let's talk about, besides the walls style diet, or, you know, whatever someone eliminates out of their diet, let's talk about some other things that you did. Was there any, you know, were you doing like cryotherapy or massage therapy or electrical stimulation or those kind of things that helped you?
So back in 2008, the summer of 2007, I went back to daily meditation. I was doing, it's sort of interesting, you know, I was an athlete before I entered medical school. I did full contact taekwondo, free sparring. And so I had understood that it's super important to maintain physical activity and exercise. So I was still exercising, even though I kept getting, you know, smaller and smaller and smaller. When I added the electrical stimulation muscles, and I would use my device to as much pain as I could tolerate. You know, sweat would be pouring off me because I was doing everything that I could because I was on the edge of really terrible things happening, and I had no hope for recovery. I just wanted to slow my decline. So I was doing my electrical stimulation, and I was gradually increasing the amount of time, the amount of hours that I was doing that, and gradually able to increase the exercise, which I tolerated better when I was adding electrical stimulation. I was aware of cryotherapy. There wasn't any cryotherapy here in our city. So, and you know, I'm a farm kid. We know how to improvise with, you know, based on what you've got. So I started doing ice baths. And I quit heating my pool. So I also have a pool that I swim in. So I turned off the heater. So that's water's getting colder and colder and colder. And I have, when I take a bath in the evening, I fill it up with ice. And so I'm doing it an ice bath. I swim. I'd also, yeah, this is probably in April, because I'm feeling really remarkably better. And I wonder, like, I wonder if I could do sauna again. So I find a local gym. I go in their sauna to 160 degrees. I'm sitting there. And yeah, I'm reading because, you know, I have optic neuritis. And it's like, okay, this, previously, if I got hot, I couldn't see very well. So I'm in this 160-degree sauna for 40 minutes. I'm reading the whole time and I'm like, I think I can do saunas again. So on the way home, I go get myself a sauna. And I start doing saunas every day. Now, I've since switched from the far infrared to a near infrared bulb. So I get red light plus the sauna. And that's part of my daily regimen.
That's awesome. Talk a little bit more about the electrical therapy that you did. So, like, you know, I know that if you go in the electrical stimulation, I know that if you go to the chiropractor, a lot of the chiropractors have an electrical stimulation machine there that they have. But are there, kind of talk about the cost of them and how if you could get them at home for a reasonable price, and where did you put it on and why did it, would this
so help? My physical therapist, you know, said in order to help walking, he wanted me to stimulate my belly, my back, and my glutes. And then he said, you know, Terry, you're pretty weak everywhere. So it's 45 minutes a day to that muscle group while you are contracting the muscle, and an isometric contraction would be fine. 10 seconds on, 20 seconds off, to as much pain as you can tolerate. And, you know, as you do this, you secrete more substance P, more endorphins. And so you can keep increasing the current. So it's as intense as you can tolerate. And so over time, I was like, okay, I'm still working. I'm not going to stop working to do this. So I'm going to take my device with me to work, hook myself up. And when I was with patients, it couldn't be as intense because I couldn't be going, with a patient that I had to be able to talk and behave normally. So that was less intense. At home, when I wasn't with patients, you know, I really jacked it up as intense as I could. And we had a portable device that was a prescription device. So it has more potency than the over-the-counter device. And where to locate the electrodes, you need a physical therapist to help you design which, you know, identify which muscles are weak, which exercises you should do, and where to place the electrodes. And my advice for the listeners is look for a physical therapist that has an athletic practice, because the athletes often use electrical stimulation to recover from injuries more quickly. Now, I also use a device that is much more pricey, that has direct current, called the Newbie. And there are physical therapy practices that have the Newbie and a lot of experience using this technology to recover athletes and they've now moved in the clinical space to help patients with a neuromuscular disease, you know, multiple sclerosis, and other autoimmune diseases. Now, at the time that I started doing eSTIM, there was not as much information about what's happening in the brain, you know, mechanistically, why eSTIM is so powerful. We've since observed that when you exercise, we make a lot of nerve growth factors in the brain, and of course, locally, to grow the muscles and to help the brain nourish and repair itself. If you have electrical stimulation at the same time as you're doing the exercise, so I have the current, I'm contracting my muscles, the current is contracting my muscles, that leads to many more muscles getting contracted, you know, muscle fibers. And it leads to many more nerve growth factors in the brain. It's very clear to me, and my brain still really loves electrical stimulation. I do e-stim on average an hour a day now. And this morning, as part of my routine, you know, I got up, I meditated, I jogged on my treadmill for 20 minutes, and went and took a 45-minute red light sauna after that. And I did a red light helmet that I wear as well to get a little more red light that penetrates my skull and gives me some red light to my brain. So I do it a lot. You know, I'm 68. My plan is to be doing research, changing the world when I'm 88, when I'm 98, when I'm 108. So I'm absolutely committed to taking care of myself, thriving, and continuing on my mission of empowering, you know, everyone who's listening, that there is so much that you can do to support your body's ability to do the biology of life more effectively.
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian. And it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs, and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second, and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway, and put in waste away for 10% off your first order. It's stressguardian.com/waste away. Go there now.
Yeah, I actually looked into, because someone else had mentioned something about the newbie device. And the last time I looked into it, and just so you guys know, if you're listening, it's basically a neurobioelectric stimulator. And it's just a really innovative approach to the e-stim therapy. But I looked it up and I think it was like $18,000. Like it was like no joke.
It's very pricey. However, yeah. I want everyone to know there's a couple ways to approach this. Look for, you can contact the Numi company and they will tell you where there is a device in a physical therapy or chiropractic office. So you have a chance to work with a practitioner who's using the device and see what you think. They also have product boot camps. I know they have boot camps that focus on people with multiple sclerosis. And you know, my tribe often has really severe disabilities. And I'm thinking of one young woman who's wheelchair dependent, who can take a step or two. We can still transfer to the toilet, to the bed. And she went down to this device, tried this device at their boot camp, and saw, and you get sessions, two sessions a day for 3 days. And she's like, you know, I'm making progress, because this helped wake up the connection between the brain, the spinal cord, and the muscles. So she and her spouse rented a device. She was a former Division I athlete. She was a volleyball player. And she really worked at it. Now, 2 years later, her son is getting married. She's able to walk her son down the aisle at his wedding. It is so remarkable. It wasn't easy. She had to work really hard. She had to work a couple hours every day with that device. And then she also was able to do the mother-son dance at his wedding. Now, she's not, at that time, she wasn't able to walk independently yet, But to go from, you know, wheelchair dependence, doing your own transfers, to walking your child down the aisle, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that is. So if someone's listening right now and they want to kind of know some of the early signs and symptoms of MS, like maybe they're starting to get some symptoms, what are those?
Let's sort of talk about the prodrome that is really the autoimmune prodrome. So if you have the symptoms I want to go through next, you're at much greater risk in the next 5 years of developing multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, or any of the autoimmune diseases involving your joints, or the autoimmune disease involving your gut. So we're talking anxiety, depression, pain, headaches, migraines, endometriosis, infertility, and skin stuff. For MS, we may have difficulty with the sense of balance. You may have pain that, you know, is not really well diagnosed. They can't really tell. They call it tenosynovitis, maybe carpal tunnel, maybe, and, you know, just arthralgias, myalgias. They give you a variety of pain meds. None of the labs are abnormal enough yet to say you have a rheumatologic diagnosis. So it's like, well, we'll just have to watch and wait. And then perhaps for MS, you can't see quite as well. You go to see your eye doctor, and then they say, you know, I think we need to get an MRI because this is a vision problem that I can't correct with lenses. You may have difficulty with poor coordination. You might be stumbling. So in my case, I'd had some dim vision, got a big workup. The MRI was clear at that time. And then 13 years later, I started stumbling. And it was my stumbling that led to my being seen in neurology.
What would you say as far as, like, if someone right now is just having major joint pain, maybe having some of these pre-things with MS, kind of besides the diet, because that's obviously get that fixed, number one. What would be some other tips that you would give them to kind of be able to mitigate some of these things?
So let's say, you know, you don't feel well for a variety of reasons, muscle pains, headaches, joint pains. You've seen your doctor. They've done all these blood tests, x-rays, say, well, there's no clear diagnosis. And you're going home feeling really frustrated. What I want you to do is to focus on what are all the health behaviors that we can improve for you. So, and the more health behaviors that you can ramp up in the health promoting and away from disease promoting will support better biochemical functioning. So aside from diet, work on sleep, going to bed at the same time, preferably before 10 p.m., and getting up at the same time every day. Getting outside to get some sunlight on your face and on your skin. Having a vitamin D level in the top half of the reference range. Yes, you can take vitamin D supplements, but getting a tan is more effective. And so I like to have people, yes, take their supplements, but also get a tan. And then I want you to have a really deep conversation with yourself about what is your purpose in life? What is your meaning in life? A great conversation that can help us. I have people imagine smoke rolling out of the windows in their home. Who or what would they run in to save without thinking? Barefoot over broken glass. And usually it's children, grandchildren, spouse, might be parents, but there's usually one or several people they can rattle off immediately. Occasionally it's their cat or their dog, and occasionally it's nothing. if there's nothing, I'd go send that person to psychiatry to help them improve their purpose and meaning in life. Because improving our health behaviors takes work. Adding any new habit takes work. Removing bad habits takes work. It's uncomfortable. And biologically, you and I, my brain will tell me to avoid pain. It's very hard to intentionally do pain. However, if my daughter's life was at risk, no problem. There's no pain that would stop me from protecting her. And so we have to have a reason to do the work. And that's one of the most important steps to take is, what is the reason to do the work? What is the reason to endure the pain? And so when we identify that they'd run into the smoking building to save their daughter or their grandson, now I ask, what would you like to do with them that you can't do if your health could moderately improve? And maybe it's not, you'd like to get on the floor and play choo-choo with them. Okay. So now I have them visualizing what that idealized future of playing choo-choo with their grandchildren. Now I'm willing to work on my sleep, because that night link, what are their next actions to help them get to play choo-choo?
Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple.
That's so good. I want you to talk about one of the things that I've heard from people that suffer from a lot of joint pain is that a lot of times when they juice fresh fruits and vegetables, because their body is able to digest things better, that they do well. But at the same time, you know, the other side of it is that they're not getting the fiber and, you know, not being able to move those bowels.
Yeah.
MS can cause major constipation and joint issues. So what is your opinion on that? Do you do a lot of juicing? Do you feel like you need the fiber?
Well, the upside of juicing is you break the cell walls, you have more enzymes, and you can absorb these nutrients more rapidly to the bloodstream. The downside of juicing is you absorb the glucose into the bloodstream more quickly, and you can spike your blood sugar. In people with MS and also with autoimmune joint disease, we have a higher rate of insulin resistance and metabolic health problems. So you want to be sure you know what your blood sugar is, your hemoglobin A1C, your insulin and glucose to know, are you developing insulin resistance? If you're developing insulin resistance, juicing will make that worse.
One of the things that you have done that I don't think you did from the time that we talked last, I saw that you now have available for download an app where you can manage your MS systems with this app. Talk about that for just a second.
We have two apps that people can get into. One is the Walls Diet app. We also have variations of that in our clinical trials. So you can, and I like this a lot. And, you know, once I have that app, I can put in what meals I want. Do I want a bison or a chicken or a fish? And some great recipes, super fun. And, you know, because people have forgotten how to cook. So that can be very helpful. Now, the other app, the Walls Protocol Mobile Program, We have a link where you can get to that. That we went through my book. There are hundreds of discrete actions that you can take. And we let you identify what are your priorities, what are the next actions that you'd like to take to support your healing journey. It is a wonderful support.
Mm. One of the things that I love about your protocol is that it's super, super easy for someone to remember, especially if they know the paleo diet, and then they just go, okay, it's basically the paleo diet, and then we're taking a few of these additional things, the nightshades out and the eggs out, and it's just super easy to do. Because I think what's happening right now, you know, with so many people suffering from autoimmune issues, that there's like, okay, people are like, well, if you're on, you need to be on an autoimmune paleo, or you need to be on low lectin, and then you need to also be on low histamine. And you get to a place where if you start doing too much, right, it's like there's literally nothing. Okay, if I'm going to do low lectin, low histamine, autoimmune protocol, paleo, you know, kind of combining all these together, then you get to a place where you can get really frustrated because you're like, there's not a dang thing I can eat.
You know, yeah. And that can be a problem. I caution people, you know, prefer that you start the Wallace protocol. We can start out which level you want to start at. And if you want to go low lectin and follow Dr. Gundry and implement his protocol, you can. There are some similarities there. But we do have to watch for the person who develops what's called orthorexia, where like, okay, I'm so rigid. I'm so afraid to eat. I've become very afraid of my food. I'm not eating anything now. And I'm spiraling down with severe weight loss and severe, I'd call it a variation of obsessive compulsive disorder. And that can occasionally happen. So in my clinical practice and in my research practice, we keep a lookout for people getting down that orthorexia spiral.
Well, this has been amazing. Tell listeners where they can find you, where they can follow you, and where they can get your amazing book.
Okay. So everyone should follow me on Instagram, Dr. Terry Walls, D-R, and then Terry Walls, T-E-R-R-Y-W-A-H-L-S. I'd encourage everyone to go to terrywalls.com, sign up for the emails. You can hear all of our alerts and terrywalls.com/MS study. Even if you have MS, be sure to screen. We'd like to have you in our clinical trials. If you don't have multiple sclerosis, screen anyways. You can be part of our patient registry because we will be adding additional studies that support people with autoimmune diseases involving their joints. I plan on adding that population probably later in 2024 or early 2025. Again, terrywalls.com. And we'll see you there.
Awesome. Well, Terry, thank you for making such a huge impact on so many lives. You are changing people's lives for their health, for the better every single day. And I personally appreciate all that you're doing so much.
Well, much love to you and your tribe. Thank you.
Thank you. And you guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.